Good morning, everybody. We've talked about it many times before. God is preparing His people. They are to fill the earth with His glory. He's preparing His people to be that glorious bride. He desires us to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. He wants us to be the body of Christ, touching the world as He would be doing it if He was walking here on the earth. He wants us to be the fragrance of Christ. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. I love these verses. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. I like that where it says a sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. That means in every city, every town, in every nation, everywhere, God's desire is that His people would be this fragrance, this sweet aroma. And I get very excited when I read passages talking about what God wants us to be. We're not there yet. I know that. You know, actually, there's a lot that needs to change. And if we're honest, we must admit that much of what's called the church today is actually giving us a bad reputation. Now, I know that the church is going to be persecuted. It's going to be lied about. It's going to be misrepresented. But still, there's a lot, if we're really honest, that needs to be changed among us. I think another factor in all this is that the Lord is purifying His church. There's a dividing going on between those who truly, truly are following Him and those who've embraced Christianity more as a cultural refuge. Remember what 2 Timothy chapter 3, we looked at it several weeks ago, the first five verses. It talks about how in the last days, people will become lovers of self, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure, and yet many of them will hold to an outward form of godliness. I think one of the things that this shaking that's going on today is doing is trying to shake off a lot of the hypocrisy and a lot of those who are just in Christianity from a cultural point of view. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We kind of know it as the love chapter, and it is. But let's just read the first three verses. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Let me kind of summarize that. If we don't have love, we're nothing. We're like a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. What? Let me say it again. If we are all words, if our words and actions do not demonstrate true agape love, if we're boastful and arrogant, if we lack compassion, if we slander and gossip, and we could probably go on, then we are like a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. We become annoying. We become irritating. We become obnoxious, repulsive to people. See, there's two paths before us. One is to be a fragrance of Christ. That attracts people. When Jesus walked the earth, people were attracted to Him because of His love, His compassion, His interest in them. Now, of course, not everyone was. There's some people who were threatened by Him, but many people were attracted to Him because of who He was. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. It says, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for you, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. I like that. We are commanded to walk in love, agape love. How much love? Well, as much as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. That's a whole lot. But when we do that, we become, how does it say it, that fragrant aroma. On the other, and by the way, that is God's desire for us. Now, on the other hand, we could become the opposite. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 1. Dead flies make a perfumer's oil stink, so a little foolishness is weightier than wisdom and honor. I mean, think about that. Dead flies in a perfume makes it, it tints the whole perfume, doesn't it? And dead flies in the body of Christ can take away the fragrance with which we were created to be. You know, and I think it's also interesting that it's just a little foolishness can outweigh wisdom and honor. Proverbs 13, verse 5. Very interesting verse here. It says, a righteous man hates falsehood, but a wicked man acts disgustingly and shamefully. Actually, the literal translation of that is, but a wicked man causes a bad odor. Because of what? The falsehood, the wickedness that he does. Genesis 34, verse 30. And the background of this story is that Simeon and Levi, they mastermind basically a plan of revenge. And their sister Dinah had been violated by one of the young men in the town. And so they cooked up an idea. You can read all the details about it in Genesis 34, but in which they basically killed all the men in that town. And when Jacob heard of it, in verse 30, he says to Simeon and Levi, you have brought trouble on me by making me odious among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And then he kind of just goes on. But, you know, again, making, you know, you've made me odious, that you have made me to be as a foul smell, literally, is what he's saying. Now, it's important for us to realize that the Christian walk works only as we give ourselves wholeheartedly to the Lord in his ways. If we try to walk in the middle, we don't have power. We don't have the power to live the Christian life. The power is only for those who are wholehearted. So unless you give yourself completely to him, you'll be frustrated, you'll be resentful, and you'll be powerless. And sadly, much of the church today actually kind of fits into this category. God is calling out. He's inviting people everywhere to follow him completely and not to be like those dead flies in the perfume that causes such a problem. Those who try to live in both worlds, not only will they be frustrated and even angry, but they will bring a stink to the world. They will not be the fragrance of Christ. The Pharisees in the days of Jesus are a good example of this. They knew what the word said. They could even quote it. They were involved in all sorts of religious activity. But they missed the weightier part of what life with God is all about. Matthew 23, where Jesus talks very directly to a lot of the hypocrites, the religious leaders in his day. It says, Matthew 23, verse 23, it says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. So he's not saying that tithing's wrong. He said, no, you shouldn't neglect that. But they were missing the weightier part of what God wanted from them. Justice, mercy, faithfulness. And the result was that most people did not respect, they did not like the Pharisees. And of course, Jesus clashed with them constantly. And actually, all through history, there have been a segment of God's people, or what's known as God's people, known for their hypocrisy. During the period of the prophets, study the prophets. The prophets were always coming out against the hypocrisy of the day. The time of Jesus, there's the religious leaders, there are the Pharisees. The Middle Ages, it was known for extreme hypocrisy in the church, the Roman church. You know, money, manipulation, control, despising people were the characteristics of the church, unfortunately. If you go to the Victorian period, like in England, in some ways, this was a very religious time on the outside. But you see, you know, we've got writers like Charles Dickens who are speaking against the hypocrisy of the day. Post-World War II is another period. I mean, really, always, there's pockets of the church, sometimes larger, sometimes smaller, that are hypocritical and bring the church a bad reputation. And if you do a study of revivals, you'll find out that revivals have been opposed not by non-believers nearly as much as religious people, because revivals usually point people to the heart, and that smacks against the hypocrisy and the external things that the dead flies in the perfume, you know, or you know, advocating. Jesus tells us in the parable of the wheat and tares, there's always going to be the tares. That is, into the very end. And at the very end, hypocrisy will be eliminated. That's because in the very end, God wants that glorious church. He wants that bride whose bridegroom is Jesus, you know, preparing herself. And so at the very end, there is going to be a shaking. There's going to be a purifying to get rid of hypocrisy in the church. Jesus talked a lot about stumbling blocks. Let's kind of read one section in Matthew 18. Matthew 18, verse 6 and 7. He says, "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea." Wow. And then he goes on and says, "Woe to the world because of its stumbling blocks. For it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come." You know, it's just part of life. "But woe to that man through whom the stumbling block comes." And again, it'd be better if that person had a millstone tied around his neck and thrown into the sea. Another way to put this, those who are stumbling blocks are like noisy gongs, clanging cymbals, dead flies in the perfume. I believe we are entering into a season where God's doing a lot, but one of the things he's doing, he wants to work deep inside of every one of us, all of us. He wants to shine his light into every dark corner. He wants to replace anything that smells rotten with his life and his love. Will you, will I allow him to do that? That's the question before us. And I'm not just speaking about Emmanuel Fellowship. I'm talking about the church all over the world. Revelation chapter 3, another passage that we probably most of us know very well. This is Jesus talking to the church at Laodicea. And verses 15 through 20, let's read it. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. Jesus doesn't like hypocrisy. He'd rather have us cold or hot, but not lukewarm. He says if we're lukewarm, he's going to spit us out of his mouth. And literally that means the vomit. You know, hypocrisy is sickening. It's nauseating to the Lord. This passage is kind of interesting. He says, oh, you say I'm okay. I don't have any need of anything. And you know what? That's so characteristic of someone who holds to an outward form of godliness. Those who are dead flies. I have no need of anything. But Jesus replies that really they are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Five things he calls them. But they don't know it. And that's the sad part. Open our eyes, Lord. Then he goes on and says, it's an invitation to come to him. Receive what he has for us. Real riches. Salve, to be able to see. White garments to cover us. Because Jesus is loving us, because he loves us, he's reproving us. He wants us to repent. That is, turn around and follow him. And then in verse 20, there's that beautiful invitation. And by the way, Jesus is not talking to non-believers here. He's talking to those who are believers, to people who are at least connected with the church. And he says, I'm standing at the door. He's knocking. Will we open the door? If we do open the door, here's the promise. He'll come into our life. He will dine with us. We'll dine with him. It sounds a lot like abiding in him and him in us, doesn't it? But it's, we will have life in Christ. And we will become that fragrance of Christ. Again, I believe we're entering into a season that God wants to come into our house. You know, into our life, that is. And he wants to clean the house. How long of a season is that? I don't know. Probably until he purifies us. Until he's purified the church. It's a very important part of the preparation that he's doing inside of us and with us right now. May we be a sweet fragrance of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would open our lives, our eyes, to where we have been wretched or miserable or poor or blind or naked. Lord, show us anything that we are doing or saying that brings that foul odor. Lord, we don't want to be like those dead flies. We want to be the fragrance of Christ, as you described there in 2 Corinthians. Lord, we ask that you would work deep inside of us. We hear you knocking. And Lord, we're opening the door. We want you to come in. We want you to dine with us. Lord, we want you to bring us into a fuller dimension of your kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, just real quick announcements. Probably the big one is, giving, because I know that we're in a time right now that many people are watching us online rather than going to our in-person service. Some can do that. Some don't feel comfortable. That's okay. But anyway, probably the best way to give is to use our Emmanuel Fellowship app. It takes probably 30 seconds or certainly less than a minute to download it and to get it set up. Plus, it has a lot of other good information, events, other things. It has a listing of other, podcasts and videos of other messages that we're giving on Sunday mornings and other times as well. So just thank you for joining us, and everyone have a great week. Thanks.